The two words sober and vigilant go hand in hand. A sober person thinks clearly and is able to make sound decisions. He is aware of what he is doing. The word vigilance in Greek presents the idea of be awake and watchful. Whenever you see the word sober, you will see either the word watch or vigilance going with it. Now I want you to turn to a passage of scripture in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. First Thessalonians chapter 5 verses 6 to 8. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and pray. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. Paul says, let us not sleep, but let us watch and be sober. You notice that the words watch and sober are placed together. Now here is an exhortation that demands our attention. It is an important matter, and we need to take heed to it. This verse exhorts all Christians to stay sober and vigilant. Paul says, let us not sleep, but let us watch and be sober. Now, if I may add the word, let us all be not sleep, let us all watch and be sober. In the pastoral epistles, Paul exhorts specific groups of people to exercise sobriety. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2, Paul exhorts church leaders to exercise sobriety. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2 says, a bishop, or in Greek, an overseer, then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach. Now concerning the deacon's wife, Paul says this in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 11. Even so, must their wives be grave, not slanderous, sober, faithful in all things. Then writing to the aged man, Paul says in Titus chapter 2, verse 2, let the aged man be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. So you notice that the word sobriety is there. And then writing to the aged woman, Paul says in Titus chapter 2 verse 4, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. In other words, aged woman, young woman, are to possess the quality of sobriety. And lastly, to the young men, Paul said the same thing in Titus chapter 2, verse 6. Young men, likewise, exhort to be sober-minded. Now, did Paul miss anyone in this exhortation? The answer is obviously no. Because in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 6, that's the first verse which I read to you. Paul says, let us all not sleep, let us all watch and be sober. You see, every one of us who name the name of the Lord Jesus Christ should possess this quality of sobriety. Now, I want to address to you children, since we have children in our worship this morning. Remember, the Lord Jesus wants you to be sober too. The word sobriety, as I've defined earlier, is to bring your mind, your thoughts under control. In other words, you have to be very careful with what you do and what you say. Children, I want you to remember this, that the Lord Jesus Christ sees and hears what you do and what you say. And all of us must do all things to glorify God, that is to please our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now the flip side of sobriety and vigilance is to sleep and to be drunk. That's why in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, Paul says, let us not sleep as others do. Then he says, for they that sleep in the night, verse 7, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. So there are two words here that presents the flip side of the word or words sober and vigilance. The two words are sleep and drunk. Paul uses the word sleep frequently in his letter to the Thessalonians. The word, however, has different meaning. If you look at chapter 4 and verse 13, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Verse 14, for we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. You notice that the word asleep, sleep, and then as you read on in that chapter, you see the word appearing a couple more times. Okay, and we are certain that the word sleep here means to die physically. And it comes from the Greek word called ma'o, which means to be physically dead. Okay? And so here, Paul exhorts us not to be overly sorrowful. Okay? Because they that sleep in the Lord are with the Lord Jesus Christ. And then if you look at chapter 5, the passage which I've read to you early on, verses 6 to 8, you'll see the word sleep. They that sleep, sleep in the night. Now, I want to tell you that Paul used a different Greek word in chapter 5. And here, he is telling us of another sleep. He's talking about spiritual lethargy. He's talking about indifference to spiritual matters. Okay. Now, what then is a sleeping Christian? Allow me to use some colloquial words to illustrate the attitude of a sleeping Christian. In Malay, we say that this person has a tida apa attitude. I trust you know what that means. Huh? In Hokkien, it means botak. Now, what kinds of attitude are these? These are attitudes of apathy, indifference, cannot be bothered mentality. This person is unconcerned with his own spiritual state. Concerning fellowship and association, to him, anything will do. If he's invited to a doctrinally unsound church, he will go. But as a true Christian, this kind of attitude will not do. We are told to hold to the truth. We are told to do what is right. We are also told to glorify God. Now, the second word that contrasts the word sober and vigilant is the word drunk or drunken. Now, we are well aware of the ill effect of intoxication by alcohol. Heavy drinking affects one's health, and when a person is in a drunken state, he may do foolish things. Some years ago, a Chinese worker jumped to his death because he was under the influence of alcohol. It was so unfortunate that this thing happened. We knew some of them who were drinking with the disease. In other words, that group, a few of them, came to our evening service and they had this celebration in the house they rented. And then someone got so intoxicated that he leaped out of the parapet and fell to his death. God wants us to stay alert. We must not allow wine to impair our decision making. We must not also let worldly ideas and philosophy saturate our minds. They will kill our desire for spiritual things and numb our senses, and we are not able to respond to God's word rightly. Now the next question is, how then are we to be sober? We are living in a sinful world. Temptations are always close to us. They catch our attention. They lure us into sin and away from God. For this reason, Peter says, be sober, be vigilant. Now the question is, how do we stay sober? If we look back at the war in the Pacific, the soldiers were very tired. And we understand why those who were placed on guard duty slumbered or slept, because they were very tired. We are tempted, we are tried, we are tired. But how do we stay sober? I want to suggest a few things. First of all, be praying always. We should be prayerful. Prayer should be our means to staying sober. In Luke chapter 18, verse 1, the Lord Jesus says, men ought always to pray and not to faint. The word faint there does not mean to become unconscious, but the word faint simply means to become discouraged, to lose hope. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, Paul says, pray without ceasing. See, prayer is important. We know that. The question is, are we praying? Do we spend time to pray? Do we commit all the affairs of our life to God? That is the means to keep us sober. And then Peter says in chapter 4, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7, and he says this, but the end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober. And he didn't stop there. He goes on to say, and watch unto prayer. So brethren, we need to pray. Now find time to come together to pray. Support one another in prayer. Ask God to help us to stay sober. At the Garden of Gethsemane, the disciples slept. Jesus said to them, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak. I know that you are all struggling in your life, right? You're struggling because you have family to take care, you have a career to take care, and you want to maintain your spiritual life. Now, I want to say again that if you feel the struggle, this is a good sign. But if anyone feels that you do not need to struggle and things are just all right, you know, I have a good family, I have a good career, all right, well, I come to church every Sunday, you know, everything is well. Okay, now if you have that thought, I kind of suspect that there is a danger. The danger is one day, if God put you to a test, you aren't able to stand. That is why the Bible wants us to pray. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Temptation is around us. So we should struggle with the flesh. We should keep ourselves from worldly influence. Guard our mind. Let it not be saturated by the things of the world. Now, what occupies our mind? What is our pursuits and desire? I hope we put more thoughts on spiritual things. So here I want to challenge you The first principle to stay sober is prayer. Secondly, be controlled by the Spirit. I mean the Holy Spirit, always. Now in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, Paul says, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit." Now before I explain this verse, let me say a few things. Many Christians misunderstand the work of the Holy Spirit. That some churches and Christian movement that have attributed everything and anything that happened in the church to the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to say this is dangerous. I remember one day going back to the Bible college where I was trained, and coincidentally that day, something happened in a woman's dorm. A lady was shouting, a college student. She was shouting and making strange noises. We do not know what happened to her. Health-wise, she's okay, She did not present any symptom of schizophrenia or any mental problem, illness. But that day she was screaming. And she spoke in strange voices. Many of us realize that that cannot be the working of the Holy Spirit. Because the Spirit in us does not go in line with the Spirit that is in that woman. So you see, what I'm trying to illustrate here is this, that whatever happened in church, it is important that we have the Word of God to help us to identify whether it is the work of God or otherwise. So this is very important. Paul says, "And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit." Now you notice that Paul deliberately used these two things in contrast. Be not filled with wine, or be not drunk with wine wherein is in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Okay? Wine in excess cause a person to be intoxicated. When a person is intoxicated, we say that he is under the influence of wine, isn't it? Okay. And so, because he is influenced by intoxicant, his thinking is not clear, he cannot make clear decision, he makes mistake, and then it results in foolish actions. Now we know in recent weeks, there were several road accidents that caught our attention, right? Of course, I'm talking in particular the one that is at the junction of Rochow Road and Victoria Street. You see, drunkenness impaired a person's thinking. And in the middle of the night, there are no traffic. Clear traffic, and yet such serious accident happened. The reason is because when a person is under the influence of wine, he makes mistake. Okay, he's under the control of alcohol. And on the contrary, Paul says, be under the control of the Holy Spirit. Now this is what Paul meant when he says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now this is one aspect of the teaching of the Holy Spirit that some people have not understood correctly. Okay, we are told to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It simply means to be controlled by the Spirit. The reason is this, that when we put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit lives in us. Okay? There's no question about that. But then today, there are people who think that, a believer has the Holy Spirit, but he does not have the full person of the Holy Spirit. And so the result is this, that you should do certain things so that the Holy Spirit could fill you in full. Now, this is a wrong idea about the filling of the Holy Spirit. Okay, we have the whole Spirit of God in us, not partial. He is in us. That is why we are told, grieve not the Spirit of God. We are told that our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. In other words, the Holy Spirit dwells in us. So do not do anything to harm this temple of God, which is our body. Be controlled by the Spirit. See, if you want to stay sober, it is important that our lives be controlled, our spirit controlled, always. Thirdly, we must be putting on the whole armor of God always. Going back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 8, Paul says, and let us who are of the day be sober. And this is what we must do. Putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. Now, we know that Paul mentioned about the whole armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6. Here, he said three things. The breastplate of faith and love, helmet. Okay, so you have breastplate of faith and love, and helmet, the helmet of salvation. In fact, there are only two things there. Okay. However, I'm quite certain that in Paul's mind, he had the whole armor. And he wants us to put on the whole armor of God. To the Thessalonians, he says, have the breastplate of faith and love. Probably that was lacking in the life of the believers there, and the hope of salvation. See, put on the whole armor of God. Now, you know, as a soldier, you have to be ready always for battle. So you have to put on your battle gear. Ready. Anytime when the clarion call is made, we are ready. And this is important because it helps. It enables us to be sober, to be vigilant. A Roman breastplate covers a soldier from his neck to the waist, protect most of his vital organs. That is what Christian faith and love do. Faith in God protects inwardly, and love for people protects us outwardly. These two graces cannot be separated. Faith and love cannot be separated. If a person says, I have faith, then it must be evident in love. Mm-hmm. Or when a person says, I have love, but his love must be in the faith. If one believes in God, he will also love others. Right? And you can read this throughout the New Testament. These attitudes equip Christians to stand ready for the future, particularly for the Lord's return. In addition, the hope of salvation guards our heads from attacks on our thinking. And the salvation here is the return of God, or the Lord Jesus Christ, when we shall be delivered from the wrath of God. So these are the three things. And let me repeat. Prayer. Put on the whole armor of God. And be controlled by the Spirit. Let's come to the second point of my outline, the reason to be sober. Going back to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, the writer says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. I want you to note the word because. The conjunction gives the reason for sobriety and vigilance. We are to be sober because there is an enemy. Peter says, because your adversary, the devil. Okay, so the devil is our adversary. He is dangerous because he is crafty. He is the snake that deceived Eve into eating the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. Today, he is still deceiving people to walk away from God. The subtlety is this. People do not realize that they are actually turning away from God. Now, there is another phase of the devil. Peter says he is like a roaring lion. The lion is dangerous, not mainly because it sneaks like the snake, but because it is strong. The devil is both subtle and strong. Brothers and sisters, we ought to recognize, first of all, that the devil is a real person. Secondly, we must recognize the fact that he is evil and strong. We cannot fight him in our own strength. We must not allow him to get close to us. We are goners by the time when he knows, when we know he is attacking us. So the first thing, or the first reason for sobriety and vigilance is this, because there is an enemy. Do you recognize that? Now, all Christians must recognize the fact. The devil is all the time against God, and he will be against those who are for God. Secondly, the enemy is all out to devour. Peter says, the devil, like a roaring lion, walketh about, seeketh whom he may devour. I want you to look at the two verbs, walking and seeking. It tells us something about the devil. The thing is this, that he is active. Now, we must not have the idea that the devil goes to sleep, okay? Or that there is a lull period, you know, where he's inactive. No, that is wrong. He walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He is actively seeking for people to devour. Unlike a snake that waits for the prey, the lion prowls the forest for prey. I want to ask, my dear brothers and sisters, are you standing in harm's way? Are you allowing the devil opportunities to strike you? However, when he takes you by surprise, the Bible says, resist him. That is found in verse 9, which I will be sharing with you a little later. The goal of the devil in his attack is to devour the believers. Now, the word devour means to tear to pieces. This is the desire of the evil one. He wants to completely destroy a Christian. Now, the consequence does not imply that a believer loses his or her salvation. I'm not talking about losing your salvation. Okay? When a Christian fall prey to the devil, it renders him or her ineffective in witnessing and in following the Lord Jesus Christ. So do not allow the devil to attack us. Stay vigilant, stay sober, for we are not ignorant of the wiles of the devil. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11, put on the whole armor of God, I just mentioned earlier on, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles. The word wiles means deceit, trickery of the devil. It's interesting that the word Whilst in Greek, methodia, where our English word method is derived. In other words, the devil has his methodology and he has many weapons to attack a believer. Put on the whole armor of God. Be praying always. Ask the Spirit to fill us. In other words, to control our life. The result of sobriety. Verse 9, Peter says, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same affliction are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Sadly, some Christians believe that there is no spiritual battle. They are not engaging the enemy in that spiritual warfare. James says in chapter 4, verse 7, resist the devil and he will flee from you. You see, there is a spiritual war and we are told to fight hard. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. And then in Peter, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 9, he says, resist the devil and be steadfast in the faith. Now, on one hand, we have to resist, right? The other hand, we should remain steadfast in the faith. Sadly, I've seen some Christian fighting, but as a result, they lost the faith. The picture of the devil given by Peter is, he is strong. And in what way is he strong? Now, I want you to notice the second part of verse 9. Knowing that some afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Now, the word afflictions there may mean suffering. In other words, the devil is powerful and he can cast affliction or sufferings on Christians. Remember, he did this on Job. Right? Of course, we know that Job was afflicted because God allowed it. God allowed Job to be tested. So the devil cannot cast affliction on people unless he has the permission of God. Okay? And here, Peter realized this, that he had cast affliction on brethren that are in the world. He did it on the saints of old. Now, I want you to read Hebrews chapter 11. Verses 33 to 40, okay? A long passage. Let me just read a couple of verses there. Verse 33 says, who through faith subdue kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtain promises, stop the mouths of lions. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 33. And we know that this is the chapter on the heroes of faith. Verse 34, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness, will make strong, wax valiant in fight, turn to flight the armies of the aliens. Verse 35, women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Now, can you see that God allowed the Christians who were reading Peter's epistles, they were suffering, they were persecuted, okay? And God allowed them to be in that situation. The devil took that opportunity, added affliction on the people. And Peter says, resist the devil and be steadfast in the faith. The question is, what then is the result of vigilance and sobriety? Number one, ready to fight the devil. If you are sober, you are vigilant, you are ready to fight him. Faith is exercised and strengthened. See, if you are not sober, you are asleep. Remember the word sleep means to be spiritually indifferent. And remember the two colloquial words are used. If you have that kind of attitude, then you have opened the floodgate for the devil to attack you. But when you resist him, faith is exercised, faith in God, and your faith is strengthened. Secondly, we will not be taken by surprise. when suffering comes upon us. We are not used to suffering. So thank God. But should God allow us to be tried by suffering in our life, then we should not be taken by surprise. And then we start to question God, why such thing happened. Rather, we should be steadfast in the faith. The Bible says that in every temptation or trial, our merciful God will provide a way of escape for us. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. God will provide a way of escape from us. I don't know how many of you read Yahoo News. I did. And I was surprised to read of a story, a real story, reported yesterday. You will see this headline: Pastor killed in rattlesnake attack during church service. Do you read that? Now, it's still in the net. You can go and search. Okay, go to Yahoo News and you will find it. Mark Wolford, 44, was well known across the U.S. state of Virginia for his lively church services, which included handling dangerous snakes in a test of faith. But a pastor died after being bitten by a rattlesnake he had owned for years, mirroring the death of his own father in 1983. Holding an outdoor service in which serpents were passed around among church members, Wolford was bitten in the thigh by a yellow rattlesnake as he sat on the floor next to it. The service was quickly disbanded as the pastor was taken to the family member's house to recover, but he later died in hospital from poisoning. Wolford had been beaten on three previous occasions, but he did not seek medical attention as he regarded the injury as a test of faith. Now, what is the relevance of this piece of news? Snake bites and a poison kills. That's a fact. Okay. We have to be sober. We have to be vigilant. Because the devil sneaks. He's strong. Right? He wants to take you down. He wants to render us ineffective. Can you imagine if we are ineffective, there will be no witnessing? Our loved ones will not be safe. No one who is close to us will come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. We will so be taken up by the things of this world. And then the idea is this, that, you know, the Lord is not returning in our lifetime. So go on, be merry, be happy, enjoy life. But that's not what the Bible wants us to do. He wants us to stay alert. He wants us to be engaged in that spiritual warfare. He wants us to go on struggling with souls. This is our duty. In conclusion, I'm not giving you a very melancholic kind of Christianity. I'm only saying that we should be taking our spiritual life very seriously. Understand? And in the Lord, we can have full of joy. We can rejoice in Him always. When a soul is saved, there should be great rejoicing. You know? When there's a testimony that someone put his trust or her trust in the Lord, there should be plenty of amen. We should be praising God. So may God help each one of us, help our church, New Life DP Church, to be an effective witnessing church. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you once again for the instruction from your word. are told to be sober, to be vigilant. Lord, help us, please. Lord, we know that sometimes, Lord, in our flesh, and because our flesh is weak, we slumber. Lord, mercy upon us. Keep us from the wiles of the evil one. I pray that you will protect your people. Lord, we are in the end time, and we know that the spiritual battle gets fierce. Lord, I pray that we'll be doing what we should be doing as your children, so that we may glorify you. And I pray, especially, Lord, that you give us a burden for lost souls. Lord, you know that without the Lord Jesus Christ, men are lost eternally. So God, give us that vision, the vision of the perishing lost, so that we'll be burdened to go and reach them for you. Lord, we are told to be the witness of the gospel. Give us the grace, the strength. Help us, oh dear God. I pray that New Life BB Church will be a witnessing church. Hear these our prayers, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. This is the first Sunday of the month of